Welcome to show number 61 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you are all doing very well out there. Been having a great week, actually, the last 3 or 4 days after I got everything worked out over at sportscardradio.com. You shouldn't notice too much of a difference, but we switched servers, which is a big difference for me. Basically, you're just moving your files that were stored at one computer over to another one, but it was a little bit different interface. I actually had somebody else do it. I can't take credit for it. I certainly wouldn't have taken the blame for it if it didn't work out. But I actually had somebody do some nice work on it. We're on a great hosting service. If you don't mind how much you're paying per month, Liquid Web, I'm actually paying them money, I guess, to say this on the podcast. But Liquid Web, after just doing some research and searching around, I wasn't worried about price. If you're worried about price and things like that, GoDaddy, and I think like HostGator, and there's like Bluehost and all kinds of other hosts, that'll do just fine for you. But when little things start to bug you, paying a little bit more might be a good thing. So we went with Liquid Web, and we're actually on some kind of like cloud hosting. I'm not exactly sure, but it basically means if you get larger in the future, we won't have to move those files again. You can just kind of upgrade on the fly, basically. So not to bore you with computer talk, I don't even know really what I'm talking about myself, but you should notice that Sports Car Radio runs fairly smooth most of the time. If you're clicking through pages, especially the forum, I think a couple members have said that, you know, that they've noticed maybe a slight difference, and that's good. As long as it's a slight difference, that's a huge difference for me. Since I'm on it all day, it's a huge difference for me, I've noticed. It's like going from having a bogged down computer to a brand new one that you just bought at like Best Buy or something. So that's what it feels like to me. So I'm excited. You can definitely check the site out anytime, and the forum as well. Forum's been doing well. We've had tons of contests. We're 2010 Tops football. My girlfriend Annie busted a box of Score football. I just did a box of 2008 Icons football. Then I picked up at a card store in Modesto the Jelly Cards on our Sports Card Radio fan forum mentioned that I should go to. I knew of them. I'd never stopped in there. And the funny thing is that I walk in there and there was like 50. It kind of took me back. I didn't expect. It was like a Saturday afternoon and there was like 50 people in there. Maybe not that many, but right, it seemed to right around that number. But they were all playing Magic. I guess they had some kind of tournament set up and they were playing Magic. So there are tons of people in there. I think that's what their most of their business was, but they did have a lot of the latest sports cards and stuff. I mean, they had pretty much all the latest boxes and the prices were fairly reasonable. I found a 15. Of course, I went cheap and I bought a $15 box of UD Icons, but I did spend like $50 on supplies. I bought tons of soft sleeves and tons of top loaders and things like that because I didn't know when my next opportunity was to buy those kind of things because I've been emailing around trying to get a case. So I don't mind getting a case and stuff like that, but I don't want to pay like a whole bunch of money because I'm buying 100 of them. I should get them for maybe like 50, 60 cents a piece, but I don't know. Nobody's willing to do it. We'll see what happens going forward, but that's what I did this weekend. We've been giving away tons of stuff on the forum. Forum's been blowing up. Tons of, compared to some of the bigger forums, we're still a small drop in the bucket. But we're not even like Yahoo compared to Google, if you want to compare it like that. But for us, we've only been around for a year and a half. And I'm looking right now, 184 members, 780 topics, 6,500 posts. I think I myself have 700, so and maybe me and my brother and people I know might be combined for about 1,000 or more posts. So we're right around 5,500 posts if you minus out me and my posting ways. But I think that's kind of interesting. So if you haven't signed up or if you haven't checked us out, for anything, you get free cards. And that's where we hold most of our contests and things like that. And so we'll definitely have more going forward. But I forget where I was going with this segment. We're just kind of leading things off. NFL Week 1 already in the wraps. Obviously, the Bengals lost, but it was one of those losses that I didn't feel too bad about. It's tough to beat the Patriots. Apparently, they've won like tons of games, opening games in the NFL in a row, and they're really, I don't think they lost at all at home last year until maybe the playoffs. I don't even know if that was a home game for them, but they're a tough team to play, and we made mistakes. We ended up losing. The score looked good. We ended up losing, I think, by 14, but we gave back a kick return and an interception return. So you take those off the board, obviously. You know, you'd love, like in a round of golf, you'd love to take back a like a two-footer that you missed. But, you know, at least you didn't make huge mistakes, at least in the second half. So I was kind of happy that the Bengals didn't get – they got slaughtered, but it really wasn't as bad as I think some people might lead you to believe. I thought that we did look good in some phases of our game. So I'm excited about that. I caught some of the Monday night games. Tried to catch the Packers game. My internet wasn't working too good on Sunday, but I know Chris Johnson did well. I know Matt Forte kind of had a good game against Detroit, and Detroit ended up getting screwed. I think that's who they were playing. I'm not exactly sure, but you're probably aware of the play where Calvin Johnson pretty much caught a touchdown, and in typical fashion, they wave it off. That's the kind of thing that happens to teams like the Lions and the Bengals and teams like that. So I thought that was interesting. We'll see what happens going forward with the NFL, but kind of excited to finally have the real games and all that going forward. So we'll see what happens. I can't even wait for this Sunday. It's like, you know, Christmas every Saturday, Christmas Eve every Saturday. So I'm really excited for football to come on Sunday. So I don't know. That's about it for this first segment. I guess I didn't have a whole lot. I guess I could tell you, I guess, you know, 7 minutes into the podcast, I could tell you what we're going to be talking about today. I guess I could just end it right here, but that wouldn't be much of a podcast. We do have more to talk about, thankfully, because I don't know how good this first 7 minutes have been. So hopefully the next maybe like 60 minutes will be fairly good. We're going to be talking about 2010 Topps football. I know it came out. I actually prepped for the show. I've been lazy. I don't know if lazy is the word. That pretty probably is definitely the word. I probably could come up with tons of excuses, but I was focused on getting the site moved over and making sure the guy that I had working on it, you know, he was asking me for passwords and different kind of logins and all kinds of terms that I didn't know. But the cool thing about Liquid Web, the reason why I recommend them, is a lot of hosting places, they'll cut and paste you an answer, or they'll give you some blah, 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 you know, service over the phone. This place, I never got a cut and paste answer from them. It was always written in plain English. I always explained to them that, hey, I'm not going to necessarily know exactly what you're talking about. And it's always a little bit different from them. And I was on GoDaddy, so they might not be familiar with that. So, but they always gave me nice responses. So there was some back and forth there, several emails and, you know, some testing and things like that, but it ended up working out okay. So I was working on that for the last couple of weeks, but I prepped the show a couple of weeks ago when Topps football came out, and even before we did our box breaks. But we're definitely going to be talking about that because it kind of spurred my question of the day. I was wondering, you know, a set like, you know, 2010 Topps football, you know, kind of spurs my thought of like who collects sets anymore. It's one of those sets where you might put together an insert set, or you might together, you know, you might put together the full set or all the rookies or something like that. I know they come out with factory sets of this, so they make it easy if you want all the base cards and things like that. So I was wondering if, you know, my question of the day was, have you ever tried to complete a set of cards, either insert, parallel, or base? And if you have, give us some examples. If not, why? So good thing I left this up for more than a couple weeks, because we've got several answers from fan forum members, at least 10 to 15 of them, maybe even more than that. So that'll take a while to go through, but I definitely want to go through all of those. So kind of want to just survey. It's kind of our general survey here. So we'll spend a lot of time on that because I'm not a very good reader. And it's not like I've memorized all 20 posts. So we'll see how I do doing that. It's a skill I haven't practiced that much. But we'll talk about what everybody had to say. We're going to give it away a 2007, I think, Bowman pack I picked up a couple weeks ago at Target. So I'll random off a pack of that. So if you answered one of the questions, you'll have a chance to look forward to that. And we've got some off topic. This is going to just be one of those random shows. We're going to talk about Topps football briefly, and then we'll get to the responses about whether people even collect sets anymore. And if they do, like, you know, what kind of things they're looking for these days, because it is kind of tough. It's tough and expensive to complete a set. We'll talk about that. And I had a press release, obviously several weeks ago now, Card Corner Club, but it's actually relevant now. There was a new auction site where you could auction off cards, and I think it was no risk. You know, I'm careful of promoting things where you're spending money and you're selling cards and risking things like that. But this was, I think the people behind this was the Baseball Card Museum, and I've actually used them. I believe so. I'm not 100%, but I'm almost 100% that it's the Baseball Card Museum that's behind this. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I have some off-topic things, some investing. I don't hand out investing advice mainly because I didn't even get my degree in financial advising. I took a couple of finance courses, but I am a cheapskate, and I know very practical ways. If you go to a financial advisor, they're going to want to know how much money you invest. And if you don't say, you know, anywhere near five figures or above, they, you know, most of them will give you the time of day, but they're not going to spend hours with you. And maybe neither would I, because it would definitely take a lot of time. But one thing I can do is give you advice on how to invest basically for free. And it's really, I almost have trouble saying that, but I truly, this is actually true. You can actually invest for free, and there's really no catches. You're really never losing money unless the stock goes down. So obviously that's you in any investment, even if it's like gold, or any people think that's like 100%, you know, houses a couple years ago was like 100% investment. Nothing's 100%. You're always risking money. Anytime you spend money, you can buy food and go to the grocery store and they could all stale by the time you get home. I mean, that's the risk you take. So, that's the kind of risk you're taking, but there's no expenses here. There are some expenses, but in terms of your trading, it's actually free. So I'll talk about that. And Google's new priority inbox. I'm a big Google guy. I love Google for many different reasons. Uses a lot of their different products, mainly because they give them away all for free, pretty much. Send me a cell phone, an Android cell phone, and I'd use that too. I'm in the market for that. Maybe we'll get to that on our off topic. But so kind of a random show. Hopefully, if you're tuning in for tons of sports card information, hopefully we'll provide some. Definitely our members that answering whether or not they collect sets or not, we'll see how well I present that information, but we have lots of good examples. I will preface that you can go to sportscardradio.com and find our fan forum, find the show discussion and show number 61. You'll find everybody's responses there, because I can just tell it's late at night. I'm not exactly sure how great of a job I'm going to be doing reading these. I'm always setting myself up for failure. That's a bad thing. I learned that playing golf. You really should set yourself up for success. And that's usually the key to life and key to all things. And the key to this podcast going well and the rest of the show going well is me cutting out of this segment. I think I'm going to crack a adult beverage and sit back and relax. And we're going to come back and talk about 2010 Topps football. We're going to be talking about that set right after this. Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, oh, listen what I say, oh, I got your hey. And we are back. Time to talk about 2010 Topps football. And as you know, there's tons of like insert cards, peak performance, gridiron, lineage. Actually, it kind of mirrors the Topps set, because Topps got their NFL license fairly late, at least when they were planning this set. to be one of their first sets that, you know, they kind of had late notice, I guess, from the NFL. So it looks a little bit like Topps Baseball, and then typically like, I guess, football and baseball normally do throughout the past. But you'll find lots of cards in here. I'm going to skip to probably the good stuff, the really interesting stuff. There's obviously the autographs, and there's the rookie premiere photo shoot autographs. Rookie red zone autographs are something you're going to find throughout all product lines. They're all going to look fairly similar cards with the rookie red zone autographs up at the top. So you'll find those in almost all top sets, or pretty much all the top sets, and they're going to be on card autographs. I think they were got at the rookie premiere. So those are pretty nice. In the name relic cards, I think these are actual game used print, relic cards. Jersey cards are the nameplate off the back of players' names, so that's pretty neat. I guess maybe it's not game used because you have Jimmy Clausen in here, but you know, some of the rookies, maybe some of the veteran players are game used. I'm not exactly sure, but each card is 101, but it spells out you can get the whole guy's name. So someone like Rashard Mendenhall has 10 of them, and D'Angelo Williams has an 8-letter last name. So those will be kind of interesting if you're really like interested in trying to fill that. Good luck. Those are interesting. Haven't seen that high end. That's a pretty high end card if those are game used in a top set. Pretty interesting. These player sketch cards where they have the player like draw something. They have Colt McCord, D'Angelo Williams. I think most of them came from the rookie premiere, and the guy autographs on the back, so you sign something. Tim Tebow drew out like a play, I think. So it's kind of cool. Those are kind of interesting. These kind of just kind of random things that they didn't even really announce or really talk much about right when this set comes out, or when they make the initial announcement. That's what makes Topps kind of interesting. And also Topps sketch cards, which is like, looks like, at least the one I'm looking at, is a Terry Bradshaw sketch from an actual artist. So you get their actual artwork on a card. It's one of one, obviously, because you know, it probably doesn't take a really good artist that much time, but the detail of this Terry Bradshaw, I can imagine even a good artist, it would take some time. Even has the shadowing of the helmet coming through on his jersey. It's amazing. I can't, for someone that can't do very good artwork or even replicate a picture or something with sketch, it's just outstanding. Some people that have that skill. So those are one of one. Very interesting cards. So I thought those, I would talk about those. Obviously you'll find blaster boxes, you'll find the rack packs of this, and you'll find there's dual autographs, dual rookie premier autographs, and all kinds of things. But it came out several weeks ago. By now you've probably seen it. We've even done a box break, a hobby box break, and if it hangs around at Target or Walmart, and I actually went to our Walmart, there wasn't that many cards there, so Target's kind of the place to be. We have two in our city, and there's like obviously one in every city in California, so I'll be trying to hit those up, but definitely trying to hit up Cryer's Cards in Modesto. I think they were on Palindale Avenue, at least I think that's the exit you take off 99. If you're in this area, you know exactly where I'm talking about. Right by the In-N-Out. I wanted to have In-N-Out. Interesting story. I was going to Cryer's Card. I wanted to have In-N-Out. Hadn't had it in a while because I don't have a car, so it's kind of far away from where I live, so I don't have it unless I'm with somebody and they want it too. So I was with my girlfriend, and I wanted to go to In-N-Out, and right as we were cruising, there was a bunch of cars there, and I was like, you know, no big deal. But then I saw a bus with a bunch of people that either ran track or they had, like, uniforms on, and they were all unloading out of the bus, and they were, like, high school students. They were all going to In-N-Out, so I was like, oh, never mind. I forget what I ended up having. I think I ended up having – oh, I ended up having In-N-Out just up the street. So that's the great thing about California is – you know, if you, the store is busy or In-N-Out's crowded in one city, you can drive 20 minutes and there's another one. So that's the great thing. That's the case with McDonald's, but In-N-Out's different. I guess I'll preface our investment segment with a company analysis. In-N-Out's a little bit different. They only put one in each city. Los Angeles and big cities, not too familiar with the geography there. I can imagine they have more than one. But in the Valley, you know, McDonald's is on almost every other block, even Starbucks, Target. There's two of them here. Walmart, you know, there's a huge one. So there's practically like three of them here. Obviously, you find multiples, KFCs and things like that. But, you know, In-N-Out Burger only puts themselves one place, usually right by a freeway if they can, I think, get the real estate, or right by a busy road. So it's kind of interesting. Their business model is a little bit different, but that's a private company. We'll talk about how you can invest in public companies for free. Yeah, you got to put up the money to buy the shares, but you're not going to pay any cost to trade that. And so that's very interesting. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a new place to sell your cards if you're into selling and buying. We'll talk about a new auction site that I found out about through our friends at CardCornerClub.net. I think they just put up the press release, but that was the first place I had saw it. So they do a good job of putting up stuff like that. And also Google's Gmail new priority inbox. If you're not a Gmail person, you know, I'm actually a fan of Microsoft Outlook, but I don't have the really capabilities. Really, it's better if you're like business and server based for that. But Google's Gmail is getting there with the new priority inbox. We'll talk about those kind of random things. You can press fast forward or move through this next segment. And after this next segment, we'll talk about everybody's responses on whether or not they collect sets or not. So we'll see what everybody has to say, and we'll talk about some off-topic stuff, although we'll talk about a new auction place where you can sell some cards, buy some cards, right after this. Time to talk about tradingcardauctions.com. Interesting. Just saw this over at cardcornerclub.net. Just a press release. I think it was from the people from the Baseball Card Museum. And it's basically kind of, I guess, you could say risk-free if you're on the seller side, because it's a free listing. You're only charged, I think it was 5%. You obviously want to go through here and see the fees and stuff like that accumulate it as you sell cards. But it was a free listing. It was kind of like a classified kind of way to sell your cards where, you know, I know eBay does, if you started at under 99 cents, it's free. And if you have a store, you know, you're paying a monthly fee. But here, it looks like you can pretty much list for free and sell some cards. So if you were looking for a different outlet, sometimes it's okay. I don't know if Trading Card Auctions would like me to say this, but sometimes you go to a place, you put your cards on here, and if a person is looking for a reference on you and things like that, sometimes these new sites, it's tough. You can say, hey, check out my, I've been on eBay since 1999. I've been on, you know, Sports Buy since 2005 or whatever. And sometimes you can open up some other doors that way. So little marketing tip, little backdoor marketing tip for you there. That's how you can use these kind of no fee, no commitment kind of sites, because you can just list items, and then even if somebody sends you an email with a question, you can sometimes direct them if you have your own website, or if you have, you know, your own check out my card store or something like that. I don't even know if they have those, but you know, like a link to your profile or whatever, you can do those kind of things. So this is kind of an interesting way to get some of your cards out there, and you never know, you might make some sales and things like that. It might end up working out for you on a profit wise and things like that. So thought I'd shout tradingcardauctions.com out. Thanks for the people at cardcornerclub.net throwing that out. I think on their latest podcast they had the CEO or the president from Panini, so you might want to check out their podcast, their latest podcast. I'm pretty sure it was a couple days ago, and they had the Panini guy on there, so that would be interesting. I'm actually going to go through and listen to it here at some point. I'm way behind. I've been listening to fantasy football podcasts. I don't obviously you don't listen to fantasy unless you're a really diehard fantasy football fan. You don't listen to those year round. I really only listen to them right in the beginning of the season to kind of familiarize myself with some of the newer players. Players that are getting more opportunity this year over last year. And then as the year goes on, you kind of figure out you're on your own. So I don't listen to them as much. So it's backing me up on all my other the football card podcasts and a lot of other podcasts I listen to. Two Jacks in the Hole and some other poker podcasts. I'm kind of backed up. So I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that. Another thing I'm going to do is keep investing without having to pay any commission fees, and that's pretty interesting, or at least any, I forget what they call those, trading fees. You are paying some kind of fee here, and I will explain that in a second, but basically, if you're young, if you're old, any age, this is a great tip for you. I'm not asking you to invest thousands of dollars. This is actually a great tip if you're the kind of person just like me. Like last month, I literally invested, actually for the last 2 months, I've invested about $50 each month, and typically in 1 month I made 2 trades, and another month I only made 1 trade, and so that's 3 trades. Typically, everywhere you go, if you're not opening up with huge money, not running huge volume out there, you're going to be paying between $8 and $10 a trade. So I would have invested. I only invested $100. If I would have paid, let's even say I get by for $7 a trade. At set 3 trades, I would have paid $21 off. If I would have only made a $100 investment and I would have paid $21 in trading fees, you've got to be out of your mind to do that, because that's over 20%. Those stocks, you better be, you know, better be for sure that those stocks that you're investing or ETFs, whatever you're investing in, is going to go up, or you're going to be investing in them for 50 years to make that literally, maybe not quite 50 years, but at least 10 years to make 20% just eaten up by fees. And we're not even talking about going the other way. You're going to have to pay the same $7 trade the other way when you sell it. So, you know, potentially you've racked up $42 in trades before you even have made any money on the stocks. That's absolutely ridiculous. You want to try to avoid that, especially if you're like me. I'll be honest with you, I can't afford to invest more than maybe $100 a month. But in the same sense, the exact same sentence, I can't afford not to do that, you know, because there's times in the market when it's low or when people get bummed out because nobody has jobs or a company comes out and they're laying off people. It swings the market, and it's great to get in month to month at those kind of lows. And so instead of having to save up $100 until I had $1,000, I think if you're paying $7 for a $1,000 trade, that kind of percentage, if you're buying $1,000 worth into some shares, typically that stock's going to move to where $7 is not going to be that much money over time. But if you're like me, you want to get in, you want to do it little by little, because I'll end up spending the money on box breaks or like pizza or something like that, or In-N-Out Burger. So that's very critical for you to save money on fees. And I found a way where you can literally do it for free. I have another way where you can do it for almost free. About $4 or $5 a trade one way. But then I've never found a way where you can trade for free. You can go to Schwab.com, Charles Schwab, one of the most well-known brokers I know of. I actually stumbled across him because I needed a checking account online. That's a long story, but I needed an online checking account. That's a really long story. But so I opened one up for free there. I looked for reviews and unaffiliated reviews and things like that, and you can sign up for one for free there. So I was like, oh, cool. And so at the process of signing up for one for free, didn't even make a deposit, could open up a checking account for free with them. And I got a debit card and checks and everything. And at the same time, I opened up an investing account. And usually that takes $1,000. That's unbelievable. So I opened up one of those for free. Didn't have to deposit any money. I think my first deposit was $25 into it. So that's really cool. No fees either way. And here's the trick. If you have money in your Schwab account, you can invest in Schwab ETFs, which I won't bore you explaining that, but that's basically a mutual fund. If you're familiar with those, it's basically a mutual fund. You can trade just like a stock, just like Google, just like Microsoft, just like any stock, all of the millions and gajillions there are out there. You can basically trade it on a daily basis. And you can trade it for free. That's the catch. You don't have to pay trading fees either way. And I know this for a fact. I was like, are you serious? So I tried it. I bought some stock. It went up a couple bucks. So I sold it and didn't pay fees either way. And they actually pay dividends. So it's a great thing. The fees you do pay, I will say it's not, nothing's free. If you take an economics class, there is no free lunch. You do end up paying something. Obviously, there's investors, possibly, I don't know why, but you would invest into this through a different account. Like if you had an E-Trade account and you invested in one of the Schwab ETFs, you would end up paying the $10 fee. So there's some people that are paying fees, but you do pay an expense fee, and it's basically for all the trades and all the monitoring. They have suits that are in the back that are kind of monitoring the fund, and they're the ones that manage the money and move the money around. So you do pay an expense ratio, but they have some of the lowest compared to other ETFs in the same category. Most of them monitor broad, like Dow Jones Industrial or the S&P or some foreign index and things like that. They monitor those kind of things. And for ETFs compared, for the basically the exact same ETF, the expense ratio is basically the same or lower. So you're not paying a huge out-the-door cost there. You can even find reviews of exactly what I'm talking about on major newspapers and other blogs and things like that. A lot of people have been, not a lot of people, but I've seen other articles come up where people have talked about this, where you can set up a checking account and you can set up an investing account all for free, no deposit. You can literally invest a dollar if you felt like it, or deposit a dollar and things like that. So I thought that was incredible. You can get away without paying any fees either way. Saves you a lot of money, especially if you're like me, or if you're a young kid, or if you already have kind of a 401k set up with work. It's always good to diversify. If you have $50, $100, $20 a month, any kind of money, it doesn't matter. If you're not paying the fees either way, you really can't lose. Obviously, the risk you're taking is in the market. I'll let you analyze that risk when you buy. I will say that I have made money just monitoring when the market goes in the tank. Basically, when the Dow Jones gets to 10,000, that's when I buy. Or when it gets a little less than that, I buy. And it seems to bounce right up from that level. So we'll see if that keeps holding true. But that's basically just been what I've been doing. And it seems to be working for me. So that's my random investing tip. Hopefully you take that. If you need any information, more information on that, contact me on the forum. Send me an email, sportscardradio@gmail.com. Thanks for everybody that has been sending me emails. I'll be getting back to you. Utah Jazzman, off the top of my head, is the email that I saw last when I was in there. I'll definitely be getting back to him. Speaking of emails, Google's Gmail new. When I saw this pop up in the top, I was like, this is going to be something for me. Priority inbox. This is very interesting. It kind of divides your inbox up. Reminds me of when I worked at an insurance office and they had my Microsoft Outlook. And I thought Outlook, when I had Outlook, I was like, wow, this is actually really, really good. I thought it was a really good piece of software, and that was like 4 years ago. So I can imagine it's still pretty good. I've never ran it outside that environment where really email was my whole job. That was pretty much all I had up the entire day. So I really fell in love with Outlook. Gmail still has its limitation. There's still lots of things I'd like it to do, but Priority Inbox helps me. It's really perfect, so I'm really happy that you can do those kind of things on Google. So hopefully I'll be getting back more timely to people with the email, but I still, sportscardradio@gmail.com, it also lets me know people listen to the show. Well, that was a really random segment. Gave you some investing advice. I truly believe that that will save you money, especially if you're just trying to invest a small amount of money. And I invest, we have lots of listeners. We even had a fan forum member sign up. He said he was 7 years old. And I was like, oh my God, I actually taught school to 7 year olds, taught computers to 7 year olds. And if any of them could get onto our forum, any of this, too, then they were brilliant kids. They had great families and great parents, and it was a great school. If any of them could log in to sport, find out about Sports Card Radio, log in, register to the fan forum, and make posts. This kid has actually made not comprehensive, but readable posts. You know what I mean? So when I found out that he was 7, I was like, oh my God, that's really incredible. And if I had students that did that, I think that's only like second or third grade. If I had second or third graders doing that in my computer class, they all got A's. But I have a weird background on grade. I could go into my dad's philosophy on grades, which really kind of formed my philosophy. I even, in my middle school, we didn't even get grades. Seventh and eighth grade, we didn't even get grades at my school. So I have a different view on grades. So I gave every single one of my students an A, even though some of them obviously deserved it more than others. I gave them all an A for a reason, but I'm not going to explain why. But if I had a kid in second or third grade that could log into the forum and make posts and register and make a username, I would be so impressed. I'd be so happy. I'm sure some of them probably could have. There was definitely some eighth graders that made I know we did a lesson on PowerPoint, and it was one of them made one of the most incredible PowerPoints I'd ever seen. It was literally college level. It was like a Star Wars invasion, attack, and it was all done on four slides. It was like 30 minutes long, and it was done with music and sound. It was absolutely incredible. I showed it to the principal, and she was blown away. So, a little bit of background, a little former me when I was in the working world, I guess. I'm still working, I guess, so to speak. But that was when I was actually suiting up and going to work and having to be in a certain place at a certain time. So can't really do that these days, but can't really do much these days. But I am recording podcasts. I don't know how good they are. But this next segment's going to be good. I think we're asking our fan forum members if they collect sets anymore. I was really curious. And most of these I've read through. I'm actually going to read through them here really quick again to prep myself. And after why don't you prep yourself? Go get a cold drink, or if you're at work, relax. Take that. I know in California you get two mandatory for a six-hour day. I think you're supposed to get two mandatory 15-minute breaks. I think that goes back to the smoking days when everybody smoked, and that's a horrible thing to do. That causes. Just go look at videos on what happens to you if you use tobacco products and cancer. Like, Google will return lots of results, and they'll all result in cancer because if you study science, you'll understand why those chemicals damage your DNA, which is what causes you to have cancer. So somebody's been watching random Hulu and videos this weekend. I've been watching random science. Since I didn't take any science courses, or I failed most of my science courses, I figured I better use the internet to educate myself, since you can't get a grade or have to pay $1,400 a unit to get that. Well, this segment has completely fallen apart, so we'll wrap it up. Get yourself prepped. Get a cold drink. If you're at work, take that break. Kick your feet back. Tell the boss to, hold on a second. You know, you got something to do. You're prepping for this next segment, which is where we're going to ask our fan forum members. We actually already asked them if they collect sets anymore, and if they do, give us some examples. And if not, if you're like me, I have in the past, but I haven't in the last 10 years, I would say, at least, actually more than that, 15 years maybe now, haven't tried to put together a set. So I was curious to see if anybody else has, and we'll be talking about that after this. Psychic spies from China try to steal your mind's elation, and little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotation. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication. Hey, I'll sojourn there while to break the spell of aging. Celebrity skin, is this your chin, or is that war you're waging? Firstborn unicorn. And we are back. Time to talk about whether or not some of our fan forum members still collect sets or not. So I posed the question as our question of the day several weeks ago. So we have quite a few replies here. Have you ever tried to complete a set of cards, either insert, parallel, or base? So I kind of left it open, you know. It's pretty hard to collect, you know, even smaller sets have, you know, at least 400, 500, 600 different combination of cards. So it's very tough these days. And if you ever have, give us some examples. And if not, why? Rats DM was the first one to chime in and said, I am very much a set collector, but generally just base sets. I've been chasing the Masterpiece sets from 2009-10, Upper Deck Basketball, just because I think the cards look great. And they still are pretty low end, but I've enjoyed the chase. So that's pretty cool. It always makes it better when, you know, I don't know better, but it always makes it nice when the cards are affordable so you can actually reach your goal. Because I know that that's sometimes the frustration I've heard with some set collectors is that it's sometimes like an endless process of trying to find the cards or finding people that are selling them. But if they're fairly readily available and fairly affordable, sometimes that makes it easier to complete a set. So that's pretty cool. Chad S333, he says, I have never been a collector of set over the years. I've collected mostly players. I am finding myself more and more interested in inserts due to opening up more cases than normal. I might change my mind towards set building if I end up getting a couple cases of one product, but doubt that will happen. If I could choose between a $200 completed set or a $200 card of a player I enjoy following, I would choose the player. So that's interesting, you know, instead of getting a bunch of cards of a wide spectrum of players, just one player, one expensive card is what Chad S333 would go. So that's pretty interesting. The main reason, he continues saying, the main reason I enjoy looking at multiple cards of one player instead of looking at 30 cards of a set would be because it's easier for me to keep a few good cards free of damaging for graded than it would be for 30 cards. So yeah, definitely that's a good point too. You know, the more and more cards you have, if you don't have a large space or large boxes and things like that to try to organize that, sometimes it is tricky to get them damaged. You know, even with all the cards that I have for our contest and stuff, I'm always trying to be careful of putting them, you know, in the closet so they don't get damaged and stuff, keeping them away from everybody. But I can imagine if I had a collection too, that closet would be rather full now. So that was an interesting post there. Baseball Nut comes in with factory sets. It almost seems silly to try to collect base sets, but I find it fun to try and get the base sets with retail packs alone. Very old school, but it strikes close to the essence of collecting for me. So I kind of like that. You definitely can do that. And I noticed that Score, just on the idea of factory base sets, I know Score Football is either coming out with some factory sets or they're out already. So I thought that was interesting, but that's a set you can find. We've opened up two blasters and you can get several other boxes and things like that, you know, for a fairly reasonable price. So it actually is something you can probably do these days if your Target stocks enough. I noticed that, you know, if certain products, once it's gone, it's gone, you know. It goes pretty quick. Like some of the Panini football seems to go pretty quick at our Target, whereas like they still, I think, have Topps Allen and Ginter blasters, where I think there's some areas of the countries where that would go really fast, you know. It just kind of depends, I guess. Healy says, comes in here, I have attempted to collect a set, but usually lose focus and run out of money before I get close. When I was younger, I pulled a few inserts. I would try to get the rest of them. The closest I came was an insert set the year Urlacher was drafted. I think I got 22 out of 30. That's actually really close. I believe it was a rookie insert lot. So that was pretty cool. That was in 2001, maybe, or 2000. I forget when Urlacher was a rookie. It was several years ago, but I was collecting a lot. I remember how hot his cards were. Now they're way more affordable than they were at that time. I remember he was one of like some unautographed pseudo low serial numbered Urlacher rookies were 3-digit cards. No joke back in those days. Healy continues, the only real set iComplete is for Browns most years. Sometimes in the past, I would cop out and just buy a team set sealed. But this year, I collected all the Score 2010 Browns, pulled them, bought singles, etc. All started when I pulled a McCoy out of the first pack I bought this year. So that's pretty cool. Team sets is another, I think, like I see a lot of people do if you're a fan of, especially football and baseball, I see a lot of people trying to put together the tops and scores and those kind of sets. And that's, I think that would be kind of fun. He continues saying, I can't imagine someone collecting a parallel or a numbered set. If they do, they have a lot of more devotion than I do. It always seems hard to me to collect a set because when I was younger, you could spend all the money on cards. I would usually trade them for another pack just to get the thrill of opening, so I would lose out on the opportunity to collect the set. So I noticed that a lot too. Kids like would come into our store and they would like, you know, hey, can I get a good card out of this box? And I said, yeah, you know, there's a couple jersey cards per box or whatever. You know, you never know what you might get. So they would open up a pack or two and they would get the jersey card or whatever. And I would explain to them, hey, you know, that's pretty good. You know, there might not be very many packs in there that have that jersey card. But all they would want to do is keep opening packs. So I would explain to them, no, you probably should keep that jersey card and not press your luck any. You know, it's like hitting the slot machine and then going back and feeding all those quarters back in. So I kind of tried to explain that to them, but they didn't really care. They just wanted to trade that back for another pack or two. So I would usually do it regrettingly, but they just wanted to open packs. So that's kind of interesting point. Red Sox 82696. I tried collecting a few sets, but I find that buying singles for 25 cents at a time, 102 cards, I need the set, really isn't worth it for me. I tried going after 2000 exquisite quad game use autos out of 85. I bought around 4 or 5. I've already spent $25 or $30. Out of the 50 cards in that set, including Ripken, Jeter, Clemens, I knew I couldn't do it. So yeah, sometimes, you know, you can get halfway through and then it's like the Cal Ripken and the Jeter especially, those end up being extremely expensive. So, but sometimes even just the partial set is kind of fun. Sometimes you can lot those up and do pretty well in an auction if you give out on the rest of the set. 82 Redbirds comes in and says, I have been working on 2008 Top Series 1 and 2 updates and highlights for about a year now. When I first started collecting the set, Wally World still had blaster boxes on clearance, so it wasn't too hard to get cards in bulk. Then I began to amass a rather large collection of duplicates, so I turned to eBay and began purchasing card lots missing from the checklist to get closer to my goal. When it came to updates and highlights series, I found a great deal on eBay. I got the entire 330 card base set for $11. The shipping was more than the set. So now I'm only one single card shy of having the 2008 base set. All I need is card number 428, Jer Jurgens, and I will have completed my first set. So I guess if anybody has 2008 tops number 428, Jer Jurgens, you might want to throw it over to 82 Redbirds. It would complete his set. So that's pretty interesting there. San Jose Fuji comes in. I love building sets because it gives me something to search for at shows and flea markets. So I agree. Like, it always gives you an endless thing to look for. You know, I think it helps if you are the type of person that kind of gets burnt out in the hobby and you can't ever figure out something to collect. You know, collecting sets actually might help you focus a little bit more because it really is an endless game. Here are a couple of sets that I've completed recently. This is San Jose Fuji 0809 Topps Signature Autograph Set. That's an interesting set. From sets from 2009 and 10, Bowman 48, the base set, the blue set, and the autograph set, and a 1993 Marvel Universe Series 4 red foil set. And he's currently building 1984 Topps Baseball, 2008 Score Select Football, and 2002 Fleer Fall Classics. So 82 Redbirds comes in here and says, responds to San Jose Fuji and said he was actually thinking about starting the 84 Topps Baseball set. And I think some of those mid-80s baseball sets are pretty cool to try to collect, because you can find cards sometimes in, if you're not looking for like the highest grade set, like really sharp condition, sometimes you get cards in huge lots. And I also noticed that you can buy sets sometimes hand collated really cheap, you know, especially a year or two after. But I noticed a Topps T206 baseball set just randomly on eBay the other day sell for a fairly affordable price, much cheaper than if you tried to complete it yourself, I think. The Ranter comes in and says, I'm almost done with 06-07 Topps basketball. I'm also working on 06-07 Ultra basketball, 07-08 Upper Deck basketball, and 09-10 Upper Deck basketball. So the Ranter looks like a basketball set collector of the last couple years. That's pretty cool. That would be kind of fun. I think basketball, the rookies in there take a little bit longer to mature. So sometimes collecting sets is a cool thing, because you end up with guys that end up maturing a little bit later in their career. The NBA, it's either you in the draft, you come out and you're a big star right away, or you sometimes have to develop in the league. It's very tough, though. The NBA, it's very tough. There's only obviously like 12 or 13 guys on a team. So it's very tough to be a superstar in the NBA. T-Mac-D comes in. I have many complete factory sets, but only one set I've completed the old-fashioned way, and that was 2009 Heritage. I am now working on the master sets of 2010 Heritage and 2010 Ginter Minis. I prefer the retro-looking sets opposed to the modern sets, because they generally look better and the cardstock always feels nicer. So that's interesting point. So he goes after just certain kind of looking sets and things like that, and pretty interesting there. Kevin6819, I have never chased sets for some reason. I have always just completed what appeals to my eye, collected what appeals to my eye, excuse me. That's not to say I don't have a few, but I love UD Sweet Spot baseball and bat cards. Those are pretty cool cards. I create arrangements with appealing Cincinnati Reds patch cards, rookies, and etc., place them around the house. Probably doesn't make much sense, but I'll have some pics and post them and see what everybody thinks. I think that's cool. I think that, you know, so many people, they collect cards and, you know, kind of like me, I just have them in a box. But it's nice to have. I do have some like autographed pieces, just some random stuff that I've picked up over the years. And so I make sure I put that on the wall. I don't care if there's sun on it or whatever. Obviously, I don't have my Tiger Woods up on the wall or anything like that. But, you know, I have some other stuff, just some random stuff. I have a Barry Bonds actually I'm looking at right now. So I put that stuff. I think it's cool that people put it up and enjoy it. I think that's a big part of collecting too, is just enjoying what you've collected. Show it to family and friends and stuff like that, and you know, see what happens. Roland Niles comes in, as mentioned before, with complete sets available. I do not usually collect sets. I usually set collect. Excuse me. I like buying Topps factory sets every year, but that's about it. I have thought about being a set collector and have purchased whole or near sets from the 80s. Problem is, now with collation and number of cards in the set, it is hard to complete a set. You have to buy multiple boxes, then chase the remainder. This would be okay, but I rarely live in location with shows, card shops, etc. That's exactly, a lot of it comes down to budget. You know, if you can't, like you said, can't open up a bunch of boxes and then go after the rest of it, you know, you're looking at a fairly large investment just to complete one set, let alone the massive amount that there already are out there. Cardboard Nation comes in, has a nice little blog, Georgia Mindset blog. You have to go to our fan forum and find a link to it there. I think it's gamindset.blogspot.com. I'm not 100% sure there. Cardboard Nation, apologize if that's wrong. It wasn't until recently that I decided to start a set collection. The problem is that if I'm going to complete a set, there'll be a lot of players that I just don't follow or care of. So the set has to be visually appealing. Some I've considered is 1965 Topps, 2010 National Chickrell, and 2010 Allen and Ginter. Now the question is, do you chase or do you just buy the set on eBay? I started collecting again after Allen and Ginter release. I'm planning on buying a case of 2011 Allen and Ginter and going from there next year. I've been watching box breaks and seeing if T206 is something I'm thinking of doing this Tito right now. So we'll see if he gets on the Tito. I know a lot of people do like Tito 6. I know it has its own little kind of following, not quite as big as Ginter, but I know there's a lot of people that really like it. It's a small 206 is definitely a smaller set. I think it's much more achievable. The full set of Ginter is always going to be very difficult, or at least take you a decent amount of time, unless you do what he said and just go out and buy it on eBay, because there's other people that open up. I imagine those people might be guys that open up tons of cases, or they're card shop owners, or they have a way of people that just like dump that stuff on them really cheap, and so they're able to complete sets very cheaply. So I'm not exactly sure how that would work, but all your base cards comes in. I'm actually sorting out my 2010 Topps football cards right now, listening to show number 60. So that's pretty cool. People actually fiddle with their cards while they're listening to the podcast. That's pretty neat. I'm kind of disappointed because I thought I was closer to finishing than I actually am. This is the first set that I think I'm going to complete. I seem to always start set but never finish, and I think that's very typical. I don't think all your base cards has too much to worry about there. He actually comes in here and replies, I played a Jose Gonzalez song on the last show number 60, and it was on a video game, Red Dead Redemption, because it's a fairly obscure song. I had never heard it from there, but I made a point saying it came at a point of the game where the song really stood out tremendously, so that was the reason why I remembered the song. So Steel Second comes in. My friend completed both sides of the game in 2 weekends. Oh, he's referring to Red Dead Redemption. I still haven't completed it. I really want to complete it because I heard it's interesting here. And he kind of, some of this is off topic, but we'll throw it in here. He says he didn't like the show number 50 music because I think that was 50 Cent. But he likes Red Hot Chili Peppers and Nirvana. So maybe I'll throw some of that in on this show. The best music in a game has to be NHL 2003-2004 with Bowling for Soup and Punk Rock 101, and Brand New with The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows. So there's some music knowledge right there. And he says he's only got back into the gaming world, i.e. an MLB The Show, to learn a little rushes and new rules and nuances. So that, pretty interesting there. We totally off topic, but I really like video games. I haven't played video games in like a month and a half, but I'll probably be getting back into the video game swing here at some point. I'm not really sure what it'll take. Maybe holidays, there'll be some new games coming out. Next question, we'll get back on topic. JRP Pride, I'm actually gonna award him. I'm pretty sure he tried to jump into a contest, he was just late. I'm gonna award him our contest here. I know I said I was gonna do it at random, but my brain works at random. He tried to jump into a contest and he was like only a couple minutes late, so I'm gonna award him the 2007 Bowman football. I think I have it somewhere. I have a couple of the packs around here, so I'll award that to him. And his response, actually one of the shortest ones, I have not, and I don't really care, I just want to get rookies and players I like. So he kept it real simple. He says he doesn't really care about set collecting, he just wants to get the rookies and players I like. And kept it short and sweet, and since he missed out on a contest early on this week, just by a small amount, we're going to award him the prize for today. Stadium Club Collector came in. I'm coming close to finishing Stadium Club baseball sets 2000 through 2003 and 2008, including at least one of all the inserts, relics, autos. I'm getting expensive to get those Jeter autos. Yeah, I remember those are in there. But also a lot of fun when I come across something I need. So I remember those Stadium Club, they have like dual autograph. They were one of the first ones that had, I forget what they called them, but they were like dual autographs. I remember that Stadium Club has some of those, and they were one of the, they have some really nice on-card autographs. I can imagine the Jeter ones are in the probably mid three digits. I don't know if they're even that expensive, but at least three digits I can imagine. So that's pretty cool. Stadium Club, I remember those way back when, the really early ones had great photography and had some of the highest gloss and sharpest photography that you'd seen on cards at that time. And our last response goes to Pander69. I think it was his first post and only post so far. So first great show. Can't wait for new shows now that I've made it through the older ones. So that's cool. I'm glad to see that people make it through the archives and stuff and actually go back. Although I cringe if you're listening to some of the really early ones. I started the 2009 Topps Mayo football mini set, but when I got to within the 100 cards, and when they're mainly SPs and inserts, the governors were haunting me. I decided I couldn't afford it and was able to actually flip all the ones that I had for more than I paid for them. So that's kind of interesting. So it's always cool, you know, if it doesn't work out on a set, you know, sometimes some years have gone by, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes the rookies in there aren't hot anymore. They didn't pan out, or only one of them is really any good. But sometimes, you know, if you were able to get some good deals, or there's a lot of other set collectors that have jumped on the bandwagon, sometimes you can. You know, Topps Mayo, I think, is fairly well collected, especially the SPs and the inserts, like you mentioned. So that sometimes you can turn around and make out for a good profit. Well, that about wraps it up for today. That wrapped it up for our responses. Congratulations again to, I think it's JRP Pride, Junior P Pride. I'm not exactly sure how to say that name, but you win you win a pack of 2007 Bowman football. I can either open that up for you on YouTube, or I'll send the whole pack to you. You tell me. It doesn't matter to me. We'll have another contest or another question of the day. We'll do the coin flip. I'm not exactly sure what we'll do on the next show. I have some other segments on my brain. I just haven't got them out, just like that last sentence. I have trouble getting it out, so I'm working on that as we speak. And I've just been working on the site. Had one issue today, just on the back end. Nobody would notice it on the front end, so I've got to go do some digging and things like that and make a phone call and have them fix that for me, but it's not really too big of an issue. There's a workaround, actually, and everybody that deals in computers knows whenever something like you hit your head on the wall, it doesn't apply to set collecting, because if you need one particular card, there's never a workaround where you could get like a different card and then it completes your set. It just doesn't work like that. But in the technology world, usually if one thing doesn't work, usually you can find a way around it and find another way to do exactly what you're trying to do. So that's what I've been doing the last couple days, but gonna shore some things up. Got some work to do. We've got some exciting things. I've got a contest. I just got an email just now. We've got a contest for a brand new football box that came out. I'll just tease it like that. We'll do the full tease probably on the next show, and be sure to keep an eye out on the fan forum and probably YouTube and things like that. But we'll have a nice, really nice box breaks to do here in the next, before the end of the month comes up. And let's see, what else do we got? Probably some other exciting things coming to Sports Card Radio. I've got to work on them, but we'll definitely be announcing those shortly. Those are in the works. Hopefully you all are doing well. I am doing well. Hopefully your collections are doing very well. And that about wraps it up for today. So take it easy. Have a good weekend. Enjoy football on Sunday. You know I will, and Monday, I guess, as well. And if you're a college football fan, you're enjoying it on Fridays and Saturdays. I think some of them even play on Thursdays. It just kind of depends. So football almost 7 days a week. If you have the NFL Network, it is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Too bad our podcast can't be like that. I guess I'd run out of things to say, and I have run out of things to say for this show. So we are out of here.